Thank you, Kevin, for leading us in that prayer. It is such a privilege to pray together as a church family, and it's a privilege to go to the Word together. And so if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. Once again, to the book of James. If you're new to the Bible, James is sort of tucked away back in the New Testament there, but you'll find it right after Hebrews. And our text today is James 1 and verses 2 through 4. If you're just tuning in, if you're just visiting with us, we are in the second week of a longer consecutive verse-by-verse study of James. And we began last week with the very first verse, James's opening introduction. And we're going to ramp up the pace this week and look at three verses. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Last week we saw that single-minded service to Jesus, you could say, is the theme of the letter. All throughout this letter, all throughout this book, James is going to teach us what it looks like. He's going to outline what it looks like to be a servant of Jesus in the mundane, run-of-the-mill situations of the real world. And the first area of life in the real world that James begins with is trials. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your religious commitment is. You could be religious or not religious. You could consider yourself spiritual or not spiritual. It doesn't matter. All of us are living life in a fallen world. And so all of us experience trials of various kinds. Moments, days, even long seasons. Sometimes people are experiencing a lifetime of a particular trial. And we need to know that the promise of being a Christian isn't that God is going to spare us from the trials of life. He's not going to shield us from these trials, not in this lifetime anyway. None of us, because we've said yes to Jesus, are given a get-out-of-trials-free card. As much as we would like that, no, we're not given that, but what we are given are the spiritual resources to be able to face the trials without despair, without discouragement. And even more than that, we are given the spiritual resources to be able to find joy in the midst of the trial. And if you think that that's impossible, wouldn't you want that to be possible? Even if you think that's impossible to experience, wouldn't you want it to be possible? Wouldn't you want that to be true for your life? The Bible says it is, and this morning, James is going to teach us how to get it. So he's not going to teach us how to avoid the trials or how to get out of the trials. He's going to teach us how to face the trials of life in a way that infuses our pain and difficulty with life-shaping joy. And to face them in a way that'll turn us into a great heart. So I'm going to read this and then we'll begin. James 1, beginning at verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. This ends the reading of God's word. Well, earlier this week, I was speaking with a member of our church. And we were talking about the book of James. We just started the study. And I was telling them that one of the things I love about James is that he meets me at my level. I was telling him I'm a knucklehead. And I just need someone to spell it out for me. And that's what James does, right? I mean, right off the bat here, what are we told? Count it all joy. James is direct, right? James is blunt. He's straightforward. James is like your best friend or your closest family member who loves you enough to tell it to you straight. right? You know someone really loves you when they tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And this is James. And when it comes to facing trials, James spells it out for us. I want you to see, we are given two things to do when we're facing trials. Did you see them? First one comes at the very beginning of verse 2, count it all joy. And the next one, beginning at verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect. All right, so spell it out for us, James. Here we are, and we're facing a trial. What are we supposed to do? We're given two exhortations, two things that are in our responsibility to do. Count it all joy, and let steadfastness have its full effect. All right, now that's helpful. That's clear. It's straightforward. But what does that really look like? Right? How do we actually follow and implement these exhortations? Are you considering it all joy? Are you letting steadfastness have its full effect? How do you know? How do you follow these? How do we implement these two exhortations? This is what I want to look at in our time together. So let's start with the first one. The first thing that we are told, first exhortation to us, is to consider it all joy. All right, so here you are, you're up against a trial. And James says it doesn't matter what that trial might be. Notice he says it's trials of various kinds. So the small little grievances, the small little annoyances and rubs throughout the week, or the big ones, right? The accident, the diagnosis. It could be relational trial or physical trial or financial trial. Whatever the trial is, he says we've got to look at it as an opportunity for joy. All right, so how do we do that? How do we really implement this? Right? This was given to us so that we would implement it. I mean, the only reason this is in here is because by the Spirit we're able to do it. How do we do it? Well, I would say the first thing is that we've got to get and we've got to keep the right perspective. We've got to get and we've got to keep the right perspective. All right, so are you facing a trial? I mean, the whole world is facing a trial right now. How are we viewing it? Right? How are you viewing the pandemic? What's your perspective on the pandemic? You see, the word here for count or consider, in the Greek, literally the primary meaning means to lead. The secondary meaning means to think. And this is helpful because what this means is what is your leading view? What is the perspective on your trial that's governing everything else? And what James says is that there's a way of thinking, there's a way of looking at our trial that'll actually lead us into joy instead of despair. And this, you know, this really helps me because you know what this teaches me? That my joy starts with my way of thinking, not my way of feeling. This really helps me because it's not helpful if I want to get joy and I'm just trying to focus on joy, right? Be joyful. Come on, joy, right? No, that's not how it works. What is he saying? Joy is actually a byproduct of looking at things in a certain way. Do you see? Joy is actually a byproduct, get more specific, of looking at things God's way. So in order for us to get the right perspective on our trials, we first need to get the right perspective on our lives. We first need to get God's perspective on our lives and what we should be longing for in life. Now, I'll give you an example, and it's a trite one. I know we're dealing with a very serious subject here. It's kind of a silly example, but I'm trying to get the principle out here. How do you view snowstorms? Right? What was it calling for today? 2 to 4 inches, something like that. How do you look at the snowstorm when it's on its way? When snowstorms are coming through, how do you view it? What's your perspective on it? I'll tell you how my kids view it. They consider it all joy. They consider it all joy. Why? Because of what they're really wanting. You see, what they're really after. See, they'll put up with a bit of shoveling. They'll put up with the colder temperatures because what they're really longing for is to go sledding. It's to build a snowman. It's to make snow angels. And you see, their whole perspective on the snowstorm has everything to do with the good that they believe the storm is going to bring into their lives and what they're really wanting. And it's a silly example, but James is saying it's the same thing with us with the storms of our lives. The way that we look at our trials, the way that we look at the storms, has everything to do with the good that we believe we're going to get from the storms, that we're going to get from the trials, and whether we want that good or not. You see, it all starts with getting the right perspective. All right, but what's that good? What's the good that all of our hearts, because of the Spirit, should be after? Well, this is the second thing. If we're going to consider it all joy, it starts with getting the right perspective, and that perspective on our lives is that we have got to want to become mature and complete and lacking in nothing. You see, we have got to want to become like Jesus. We have got to want to become spiritually mature. Is that what you're wanting? See, think of it this way. If our desire, if our deepest governing desire is personal ease and convenience, if what we're really longing for is immediate gratification and physical comfort, then here comes a trial. How are we going to see it? The only way we're going to see it as an obstacle. The only way we're going to see it is as a loss, you see? But if your main desire, if your governing desire is, I want to be more and more like my master, if our governing goal in life is, I want to be conformed to the image of Christ, and what does God say? That we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the good that God is after in our lives. And if we're wanting that, you see, if we're desiring that, then we can look at the trial in a completely different way. Your perspective on the trial has everything to do with your perspective on your life and what you're longing for in life. And we've got a want, we've got a desire to become like Jesus. Let me put it this way. Physicians and counselors will tell you that when people come to them for help, more often than not, the presenting problem that the patient brings to them is not the most serious problem. The presenting problem is not the most serious problem. And a good physician, a good therapist, counselor, they're able to discern that underneath the presenting problem is a more serious problem. And you see, with the wisdom of God, James, like a great physician, all the way through chapter 1, he's putting his finger on the underlying problem. See, what's the presenting problem? The presenting problem is the discouragement or the despair or the self-pity that we can easily fall into, all of us can easily fall into when we're going through a trial. That's the presenting problem. But what's the underlying problem? Misaligned desires and our perspective on life. And all throughout this chapter, James is going to be pressing home this question: what do you really want? What are you longing for? What is your heart living for? What are you really longing for? And you see, if you're longing for personal ease and physical comfort and immediate gratification, if that's your ultimate goal in life, then you're going to consider the trial all bad. But if your heart is in line with God's heart and your desires are aligned with God's desires for your life, and the good, your ultimate good, is I want to become like Jesus, then you're going to be able to consider the trial all joy because it's going to bring you the spiritual maturity that you are longing for. And you know, spiritual maturity doesn't come any other way. And so that's the third thing that we've got to do if we're going to consider it all joy, is we've got to remember how the process works. We've got to remember how the process works. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, for you know that the testing of your faith, it produces steadfastness. It's not meaningless. This isn't pointless. This is actually producing something. It's like he's saying, y'all know how this works, right? I mean, y'all know that, like, this is how the process works in spiritual maturity, that you go through this, right? That you're expecting this, right, when you signed up to follow Jesus. Think of it this way. If you got an acceptance letter into Harvard, you would never go into that, you'd never go into your first semester thinking that this is going to be a breeze, right? You'd never go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. No, you would go into it understanding how the process works. You would go into it expecting to be challenged. And where are we? We, as Christians, we have been enrolled in the Ivy League character school of Christ. And the process of growing in our spiritual character and maturity is trials. I mean, I'll give you another example. Imagine you got accepted to the Navy SEALs training program. You would never go into the training to be a Navy SEAL thinking it's going to be a mini vacation. Right? You'd think, oh, I'm just going to be wading in the pool. No, you would expect it to be challenging because you would know how the process works in order to train you to be who you want to be. Who do we want to be? We want to be like our master. We want to be like Jesus. That's the goal of the Spirit in our hearts, is to conform us to Christ. And all the way through this chapter, James is going to be asking us, what do you really want? All throughout this book, desire is a big topic that he's going to hit on. What are you really desiring out of your life? What's your goal? We say, remember how the process works. We are conformed to the image of Christ through two primary ways, two primary tools. What are they? Trials and truth. The trials of life, which is verses 2 through 17, and then the truth of God's word, which is 18 through 25 of this chapter. He says, you want to grow? Do you really want to spiritually grow? Remember how this process works. It only works through two main things, through the trials of life and the truth of God's word. Those are the two main tools that God uses us to grow us, to grow us up. So this past week, I caught this commercial. It was a commercial for a gym, and their main slogan was, "Your fitness is everything. Your fitness is everything." And the implication was, because your fitness is everything, you've got to go to the gym, right? Because your fitness is everything, you know how the process works. You've got to work out. You've got to eat healthy. What are trials? It's the exercise of our faith. What's God's word? It's the proper diet for our faith. And James is saying, remember how the process works. Your spiritual fitness, my spiritual fitness, is everything. And God is using the trials. He's using his truth to form our character and to make us more like Jesus. So think of it like weight training, right? So think of the trial that we're up against. Think of it like a heavy weight. And what does the weight do? The weight, or the trial, it pushes, it presses against the muscles of our faith. This is what he's saying. He says, remember how the process works. The trial is testing your faith. It's pushing against your faith, and that produces steadfastness. So the muscles, they don't just flex under the weight, right? Our muscles, they actually break down in a way that builds them back up stronger. You see? And I like that metaphor, because when you're working out, when you're under the weight, you're not rejoicing in the pain, right? No, you're finding joy, this inner satisfaction in what you know the pain is going to produce. It has a purpose. It's going to produce vitality. It's going to produce fitness. It's going to produce more energy. And I don't want to stretch the metaphor too far, but if you've ever been to the gym, you know that people work out differently. You have the loud grunters, right? And then you've got the loud breathers, the people who are, right? I mean, they're just into it. You can hear them breathing. You can hear them grunting. You've got the quiet ones, right? You've got the talkative ones, the dancing ones. Everyone works out differently. And everyone goes through trials differently. Everyone faces them differently. But the process is the same. God is using these to make us more like his son. And he is the perfect trainer who knows the amount of time and the amount of weight that we can take to make us, never to break us. There's a story by the writer George MacDonald. And in the story, there's this woman, and she's crying out in the midst of the pain, and she says to her friend, she says, "You know, I wish I had never been made." And with all the gentleness in her heart, her friend quietly replies, "Oh, my dear, you're not made yet. You're only being made. And this is the maker's process." How are you viewing your trials? What's your perspective on life? What are you after? What are you really wanting? We have been enrolled in the spiritual formation school of Christ, and that's where God is taking us. And I'm not saying that this is easy. James isn't saying that this is easy. James knows every day we are battling with these competing desires, right? I mean, my problem is I want the outcome without the process, right? I mean, I want to be fit and looking good for my wife, but I also want to eat ice cream and pizza and then lay on the couch, right? I'd like the outcome. I'd like to be physically fit, but I don't want the process. But we can't get the outcome without the process. And this is the first way for us to consider it all joy. I would say it's the only way for us to consider it all joy, is we've got to get and keep the right perspective. We've got to really want to be like Jesus. And we've got to remember that this is how the process works. All right, but James isn't done. Okay, second and finally, we've got to let steadfastness have its full effect. Notice, this is the second thing that we're given to do, verse 4. And I like how some of the other paraphrased translations have this. One says this: "Don't try to get out of anything prematurely." Another one says this: "Stop trying to squirm out of your problems." Do you see what it's driving at? You see, what happens when we're under the weight? What happens when we're experiencing the training or going through a trial? The natural response is, I want to get out of this. When is this going to end? Actually, the person that I was talking with this past week, we were talking about the pandemic, and I was honest with them. I said, you know, I just want this to be over. It's like, I think so many of us, thought, 2021, vaccine rollout, everything's going to come, immediately back to normal. And then here we are, it's being prolonged. And I'm like, I just want to get out of this. How do we get out? How can we get this to be over? But what if there was a better question? What if the question that we need to be asking is, how does God want me to endure this? How can I endure this? How does God want me to endure this? You see, the word here for steadfastness, it's the word hypomeno. Hypo means under, and meno means to remain or to stand. And it literally means to stand under, to remain under, to keep bearing up under the training. And isn't it around this time where the New Year's resolutions for working out begin to really fade away, right? Come Super Bowl Sunday, and all the goodies, like, yeah, I'm gonna get to that resolution next year, right? Why? Because it's hard. It's hard to keep bearing up under the weights and the training. But this is what we've got to do. This is what's going to make us into a great heart. You see, here we are in the middle of the pandemic. Hopefully it's not the middle of the pandemic. Hopefully it's towards the end of the pandemic. But here's the thing. We've got to trust the timing of our master. We've got to continue to submit to his timetable, not ours. We've got to continue to hold on. What are we supposed to do? Hold fast. Stand firm. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Let steadfastness have its full effect. Don't give up. It's always too soon to give up. I mean, think about later on this evening. If you're going to watch the game, we're going to see these players take the field. at the Super Bowl. And we're going to see them on the field in sort of all of their glory, but we haven't seen all of the hours in the weight room, all of the hours in the film room, all of the training and the drills and the difficulty that they went through. And you've got to believe in preseason or even in the middle of the season, they're thinking to themselves, I just want this to be over, but they have the great purpose in mind. They have the great goal in mind. It's to stand in the middle of that field holding up that trophy. And dear friends, we have something more important than holding up a trophy that's going to fade away. Our goal is spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness and the crown of life that will not fade away. And so hold on. Our trainer, our coach, our captain, our God knows just how much we can take, never to break us, but always to make us. But it's not easy. It's not easy. So what's going to change our desires to be more in line with the Spirit's desires? What's going to change your heart to want to be like Christ, to persevere? Well, it's to remember the love of Christ. What compels us to go on with Jesus when it's hard? The love of Christ compels us. How can we endure and look at our trials with joy? It's to know that this is what he's done for us. Do you remember what Hebrews says? It says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. He hypomenoed the cross. Now think about that. What did the Prince of Heaven not have that he needed to come to earth and go through the cross in order to get? It was us. And he went through that cross, dying for our sins, bearing the full weight of all our sins, because his joy was to rescue and redeem his bride. And the more you see Jesus hypomenoing the cross and enduring the cross and going through that for you, the more you'll bear the other smaller crosses for him. And James calls us into this. He knows that he can call us into this because the one who died for our sins has risen again from the dead, and he is with us. He is the fourth figure in the fire. And he says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will help you. And when your heart is failing, I am the strength of your heart, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Press on. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word. Lord, it is difficult to be in your school. But Lord, there's no better university to be in. There is no better training regiment to be under. Because Lord, we want to be like you. We truly believe that becoming like you is our joy. So Lord, teach us. Teach us to have a right perspective on our lives so that we might have a right perspective on our trials. Teach us how the process works. Remind us how the process works. And Lord, strengthen us that we might let steadfastness, that we might let this endurance have its full effect, that we might be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together for our final song.
Like sea. And all the congregation said, amen. Friend, the charge is this: count it all joy and let steadfastness have its full effect, because we are not left to ourselves. Jesus is with us. If you're wondering if there is complete forgiveness from God for you, and if you come in repentance and in faith in the work of Jesus, not your own, then on the authority of God's word, I declare to you the news that brings relief, the news that brings joy. All your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. And if you're needing prayer, some of our leaders are available right now over Zoom. If you're not getting that link, we'd love to provide you for that. So that if you need prayer and you're tuning into our live stream services, you can take advantage of that. Just reach out to our main office, and we'd love to get you set up with our worship bulletin week by week. If you're here with us in person, you need prayer. One of the ways God strengthens us through the trials is through prayer. And so we'd love to pray for you following service outside. I'm going to pronounce the benediction, but then stay tuned because we'll have the reading of the warrant for our upcoming meeting. But go into this new week with the assurance of God's blessing on your life. Receive it now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. May he bless you. May he persevere you. May he strengthen you. And may his face of mercy and grace just shine down upon you. And may you experience his love both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace, but stay tuned for the warrant. You may be seated.
Good morning. The warrant for the Winter 2021 Special Congregational Meeting, First Congregational Church of Hamilton, Massachusetts. To the members and friends of the First Congregational Church of Hamilton, Massachusetts, greetings. Our Board of Elders is calling a special congregational meeting on February 8, 2021 to seek congregational approval to enter a work contract with American Steeple and Tower Company Incorporated to undertake renovation and preservation work upon our church belfry, clock tower, and steeple in 2021. Funding for this work has been fully secured through a Town of Hamilton CPA grant and a generous donor gift. We are seeking congregational approval in accordance with our church bylaws because the proposed cost of the project will exceed 5% of our total 2021 operating budget. Due to the pandemic, the meeting will be conducted virtually on Zoom. We will provide information and electronic ballots to the congregation by email prior to the meeting and announce the results on Sunday, February 14. Paper ballots and information are available from the church office if required. Article 1, to request congregational approval to authorize the treasurer to sign a work contract on behalf of FCCH for services from the American Steeple and Tower Company Incorporated. Blessings on you today.